good to be back with you all, and thank you for coming today. And aren't you glad that you listened to the right voice today and said, you know what, I'm going to go to church. I could do anything I want, but I'm going to go do what's best. Amen. Be with God's people. And, you know, every time that you say yes to God, you don't regret it. Even if your body is telling you something else or your emotions are telling you something else, but when you do what God says to do, regardless of those things, you never regret it. But I've regretted a few times listening to my own voice, or that other voice, as we say, you know, that's trying to talk you out of something that's going to be good for you and possibly good for somebody else. How many know that when we come together, it's not just for us? Amen. I come here for you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I came here for you today. All right. And I hope that's true. Amen. We're here to love and to give and to share and to bless, just like Jesus did. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Amen. So anyways, it's good. I had a great time off, partied hardy, and but it was in a sanctified sense, you know. I didn't get up the next day and feel bad, you know, praise God. I just had a time of relaxing, you know, and just really didn't have to think about too much. When you're a pastor, you're always thinking about your people anyways. You just never, and I don't want to either, but, you know, it's just like I'm always wondering how so-and-so's doing. And so all I can do is I can give you over to Jesus and say, Lord, please just bless them and take care of them and, you know, strengthen them. And I pray for you guys. Every day I pray for you by name and present you before the Father and pray that God will strengthen you with might and inner man and raise you up for His glory. And, you know, God is faithful. Amen. He answers prayer. Amen. And we get to do that. Each one of us are a priesthood. Amen. In the Lord. We don't have to go to a particular person except the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. And we can make our petitions known. Amen. You can be driving down the car, amen, and be functioning in your priesthood. Amen. Talking to the Lord, conversing with the Lord. And we need to be listening to the voice of God. Amen. Know His voice. Discern His voice. I think this is a big problem is sometimes we're wondering, what voice am I hearing here? Is that me? Is that the devil? Is that the Lord? But the more you spend with somebody, the more that you get to know them, their characteristics. Amen. Their attributes, who they are as a person, what they would do and what they wouldn't do. And so when you hear the voice of the Lord, because you've been acquainted with the Lord through communion with the Lord, you will know when the Lord is speaking to you. And that's how it works. Amen. You just can't come to church once a week and expect to really have a relationship with the Lord. Amen. That's part of it. Amen. How many know God wants us to gather? Amen. Together. Amen. It's important that we do that. But on an individual basis, you know, God calls us to a life of prayer, communion with Him. And what a joy it is. And what a privilege it is, really, that we have an opportunity. You know, and God does hear you, guys. The devil's a liar. He wants to shut you down. He wants to discourage you in your prayer. He wants to rob you of your confidence or your faith in your prayer. So he tells you God's not listening. You know, God answers according to His will, doesn't He? Sometimes we're asking the wrong thing. But He'll answer any prayer that's according to His will. And how do we know His will? By the Spirit He's given us. Amen. He works in us both to will and to do. So you must be born again. You must have the Spirit of Christ in you to be a child of God. Amen. And if you're a child of God, then you are the temple of God. He dwells in you and you have communion with the Lord in your heart. And you can be an expression of Him in this world. Amen. Because what we don't want to do is present ourselves, amen, to people. We want to present Christ and you and I as a vessel for Him. Life can be very difficult. Amen. The good news is that we're not alone. Even if you feel you're alone, you're not alone. There is somebody there for you to help you through, to give you the grace, the strength you need to overcome this sin-sick world. Amen. And live victorious. It's not by might nor power. It's not by willpower or my ability, but by what? The Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we need to understand that it's vitally important that we are connected to God in the Spirit. That is where our strength or our help comes from, to overcome. There's no excuse for you and I not to overcome when we have the overcomer in us, and He has already gone before us, and He has already overcome the world. So in Him, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers through Christ. And our dependence on Him, our strength comes from Him. And some of us, I don't know about you, but I had a tendency to be stubborn. And I did it my way, you know. But my way ended up so often in a disaster. If my way was in agreement with His way, then that's the right way. Because I thought I was on the right way at one time. I lived my life according to my understanding, and my understanding was tainted. My vision was tainted. I wasn't able to see clearly. I thought I understood until the Lord began to reveal Himself through His Word and by His Spirit and began to turn the light on and began to show me that there are a lot of cockroaches in the house. There's a lot of mess going on in there that only He can really deliver me from. But I had to have an honest heart and a repentant heart towards God. I had to turn away from me, and I had to look fully to the Lord and trust Him. And God brings awesome deliverance, doesn't He? He sets the captive free. He didn't come to take away life, but to give us life, and life to the full. Hallelujah. And you know, our life isn't based upon our circumstances. Our life isn't based upon how things are going today. Amen. If you put your life, if that's what you base your life on, then it's only going to be as well as things are going at the moment. Well, the sun is shining today, so I'm having a good day. Well, around Washington, you're going to have a lot of bad days, amen, if it's just if the sun ain't shining, amen. So you got to go deeper than the external things of this world, amen. God wants to give you His supernatural peace. Well, I want us to turn in the Bible today, or 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I heard that Paul, haven't heard his message, but he talked about Saul, didn't he, and David? I got to get a little wind of that. I think Paul might have mentioned that or something. But anyways, guess what? I'm going to talk about Saul a little bit today. We don't want to be a Saul, by the way, right? I'm talking about Saul of the Old Testament, right? King Saul, who, by the way, was an anointed vessel of God. But he had a problem. He was putting himself before God. He had his agenda before the Lord's. And he was not willing to fully obey the Lord. And because of that, he lost everything. He lost his kingdom and eventually his life. As a matter of fact, the very ones that he compromised with were the ones that would take him out later. The Amalekites are the type of Satan and his hordes. And they would attack the weak and the helpless or the defenseless. As Israel was crossing the wilderness, they used to pick off the loners. They used to pick off the stragglers who fell behind the rest of the camp. Now, there's a lesson in that, because you have to understand the devil is, amen, the Amalekite. And he's looking for the loner. He's looking for the straggler. He's looking for the one who is not connected to the camp. That's not in the herd, if you will, in the fold. He wants to get people isolated and separated from the fellowship of God's people, because the Lord works through His body. Amen? And so the Amalekite would come and take out the weak one, or the straggler, or the loner. And so God was speaking through the prophet Samuel here to the king Saul. And he said in chapter 15, verse 1, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, listen or heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy." Everybody say, utterly destroy. All that they have. Utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey, everything, he said. Now, in our natural understanding, we're thinking, man, that is pretty severe. That is pretty cruel. Who could do something like that? But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that what we're reading here is a type of spiritual warfare today that we are encountering. And if you are diagnosed with a disease, then what has to happen is you have to utterly destroy or eliminate the disease from your body, lest it should do what? Continue to infect you, right? And eventually kill you or destroy you. God knew the hearts of these people. They were worshiping the devil. They were devil worshipers. And they were unrepentant, unregenerate. And so all they were going to do is reproduce more wickedness in the land. So God says you're going to have to deal with the whole situation. You can't spare any of it, or it will come back to bite you later on. And so God told Saul to utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Now, this is where we have to be careful, because sometimes our natural understanding is, well, that doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it that way. If I were God, but you're not. Amen? We're not. He's God. He's smarter than we are. The Creator knows the creation better than the creation knows itself. He knows what works and what doesn't work, so His Word is perfect. His Word is holy. His Word is true. It's authentic. It's real. It works. So God instructed him to do what? Utterly destroy the Amalekites and do not take anything. And He said, don't take any of their stuff into your camp. Because we're in a war with Satan. And Satan doesn't play fair. He's out to rob, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't take prisoners, guys. He does take prisoners, but eventually he destroys the prisoner. So likewise, we should not be taking any prisoners when it comes to our adversary. He doesn't play fair. When you are engaged in warfare, amen, the key is to outgun your enemy, amen? You have to overcome your enemy. You're not there to play fair. You're there to win the war. If you're on the battlefield to play fair, it's going to be a mess. It's going to go on a long time, amen? There's not going to be any victory. So what you want to do is you want to totally annihilate, all right, the threat. So it's no longer there, amen? To come back and get you later on. That's just the way it is. It's a reality in the world that we live in. Because we live in a fallen, sin-sick world. Jesus is going to come and restore all things. There's coming a day when He shall reign over all the earth. He's coming to rule. He's going to establish His throne in Jerusalem and rule over all the earth. Hallelujah. And there's going to be peace on earth because the Prince of Peace will have established His reign over the earth. And all the nations shall be gathered before Him. He will rule with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not going to have any mess going on in Congress in that day. When it comes to the enemies of God, there can be, hear me, no compromise. The problem is that we want to work deals with the devil. We want to compromise. If we attempt to do that or hold on to anything that's His, He will eventually bring us down. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have listened to that voice and tried to yield to Him and make a deal with the devil, if you will, or just kind of play and toy with sin in your life? How many know that never works, does it? It doesn't work. You can't just dabble with it, amen, and get away with it. Well, I'll just have a little drink or a little snort for the nose, whatever it is. Start out with, you know, just out to party with the buddies tonight and have a beer, whatever, and what happens with that? Well, it can go from one thing to another. The enemy just wants you to compromise a little bit. He's like the salesman that wants to get his foot in the door. They say, just get your foot in the door. I did it for about 2 weeks. And I was like, man, this ain't for me. I can't lie to people. And how do you know the devil's just like that? He's a liar. They say, get your foot in the door. And then people feel obligated to open the door and let you in. Well, that's all he's asking for you. Just crack the door and let me get in a little bit. And then he'll take another step. And before you know it, he's sitting in your living room trying to sell you something you don't need and don't want that he probably doesn't like either. He doesn't play fair. He's out to rob. He's out to destroy. And if, because we're in a war, we have to take the same stance. We have to be relentless in our pursuit, amen, of living right before God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to say absolutely no to sin. Absolutely no to the devil. Amen. And anything that's standing between you and your peace, amen, you have to deal with. And you have to deal a severe blow to it until it is gone. Amen. How many know that God has given us the authorization, amen, to cast the devil out, to tell him where to go? He gives us that authorization. If you're in Christ, you have been authorized, amen, by His Spirit to take authority over principalities and powers, over the works of the enemy. Jesus told His disciples, what? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over what? All the work of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. If your confidence is in your God, not in yourself, but your confidence is in your God, you'll have a supernatural confidence when it comes to dealing with the devil. You won't be afraid of the devil because you know who you are and who he is in you. And you realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you can't serve two masters. Anything that has to do with sin has to go. Here's Joshua's farewell address to the people of Israel. Joshua 24:14. You ready? So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Now verse 15, now he gives them a warning, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And the people replied in verse 16, what did they say? We would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. How many of you have said that? How many of us have said that? I'll never serve other gods. Well, let's take an evaluation. Let's take a good look here, because sometimes without realizing it, we can be bowing down to other gods. Bowing down to the god of entertainment. The god of materialism. All right. King Saul. He disobeyed God's command. And he kept Agag. He thought, well, I'll just partially obey the Lord because I don't really agree with the counsel of God. I think my way is a little bit better than God's way. Do you know, you and I, if we want to, we can justify anything we do. We can make excuses for it. But we'll pay the price for not listening to the voice of wisdom, amen, of truth. But God wants to bring freedom to you. God wants to bring healing and deliverance to you, even today. And he kept some of the spoils. Now, the reason why they would capture a king in those days was to sport them, usually. They would parade them before the people and say, look, we've captured the king of our enemy. And so Saul probably had a little bit of an ego problem here and thought, well, we'll take the king and, you know, it'll make me look good. God said, destroy them all. Completely, utterly annihilate, destroy Amalek. Leave nothing and take none of their stuff. But they decided to compromise and take some of the spoils. And other times they would take a king in hopes that they would make that king an ally with them. Isn't it interesting that it was Amalek the Amalekites that eventually killed Saul. The very ones that he compromised by not obeying the word of the Lord, that same enemy would be his demise. Do you hear that today? Do you understand that the devil wants to destroy your life? And you cannot play patty cake with the devil. You cannot compromise with the devil. You've got to get out of his camp completely, amen, and kick him out of your life. Kick him out of your family, amen. Kick him out of your house. Kick him out of your workplace. Kick him out of Walmart, wherever you find yourself, amen. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be the influencer, amen, for the Lord. But when we decide that I'm just going to make excuses for what I'm doing, we're setting ourselves up for trouble. You know why God told Saul to utterly destroy Amalek? Because Saul was capable of utterly destroying Amalek. Do you know why God tells you to repent and stop your sinning and get out of the world, get out of the flesh, get out of the devil, amen? It's because you're capable of doing that and living in victory through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He doesn't tell you to do something without giving you the grace to accomplish it. He tells you to give up that habit. Did he tell you it's just because he wanted to irritate you? No, because he wants to free you from it. And he'll give you the grace if you trust him for it, the ability to overcome it. He won't leave you on your own. He doesn't leave us as orphans. The Lord is always with us. Because the same enemy we refuse to deal with will eventually destroy us. Isn't it foolish for us to sometimes think that we can toy with sin and somehow come out ahead? It never works. How many know what I'm talking about today? You can't toy with sin and ever come out ahead. Sometimes we get into a pity party and we want to drown our sorrows or do something. I've been there, you've been there. Amen. But how many realize it doesn't work? It only compounds the problem, only makes it worse. 1 Samuel 15:13. Then Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said to him, oh, he was glad to see Samuel. Here's King Saul who's compromised. And now the prophet of God comes and he's like glad to see him. Well, I don't think he really was. I think he might have had a little bit of a conscience going on there. All of a sudden, I'm afraid he's going to find out. Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed. Now, Samuel didn't even ask him, did you perform? He just came right out and said, hey, I performed the work of the Lord. You ever notice that sometimes when we've haven't been quite doing right, we can exaggerate our spirituality to try to compensate for it. Some people are good exaggerators. It ain't going that good. Come on. But we don't want anybody to know, so we just exaggerate. We're super spiritual now. Are you hearing me, somebody? We need to humble ourselves. Just be real. We're all people. We're all, as we read this morning, we're all in the boat together. Amen. We're all in the ark together, praise God. We're going somewhere. We've got to just get real with God, amen, and real with each other. It's not always going to be a mountaintop experience. You're going to have struggles. We all will at times. But God gives you the ability to overcome. And God has placed you within a family and a body, amen, where you can receive help and nourishment and strength and encouragement from each other to overcome this world. When Saul was confronted, he began to make excuses. He said, Samuel said to him in verse 14, then what is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? Why am I hearing the lowing of the oxen? And I hear the sheep. And Saul said, here's where it's a diversionary tactic. They have brought them. Who's in charge? Saul. But they brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. So, certainly, God will take the bribe. Come on, right? Yeah, we didn't fully obey, but we did do this. Come on. Sometimes we're trying to do good deeds to make up for our disobedience or our rebellion, thinking that somehow we can bribe God with the good things we're doing when God is saying, I want you to deal with that.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Once you get into compliance with my will and my word for your life, then you can have the joy, amen, of my presence and peace in your heart. And so, what did Samuel say to Saul? Be quiet. I don't want to hear it. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes. Oh, this is so good. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? When you were humble, when you were submitted to God's authority, when you realize that you're into something that's bigger than you are, and you have an assignment that's bigger than you are, and God is the one, amen, that's in charge here, not me. I'm simply the paper boy delivering, amen, the news. I'm supposed to say yes to God, amen, and not become my own God. Because one form of idolatry is self-worship. We can call him Lord all day long, but the real question is he really Lord? But when you were little, he said, in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Doesn't God say that he'll give his grace to the humble, but he resists the proud? See, we can be strong people, strong, amen, willed, strong body, amen. We can have talent and ability. We can control and manipulate people naturally if we wanted to. But a humble person understands that that's not right. And I'm going to tell myself not to take advantage of a weaker person, because I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I'm going to submit to God's authority in my life. Amen. And I'm no longer going to bully people, even though I could. A humble person God looks upon. A humble person is a person that says, I'm willing to obey God and deny myself what I could do, but instead I'm going to do what he wants me to do. A humble person is one who wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I just feel like doing this today. And the Holy Spirit says, but I want you with God's people today. And a humble person will say, yes, Lord. I submit myself to your authority. I obey your voice, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Yeah. Now the Lord sent you on a mission, he said. And he said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Verse 19. Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? You mean, why do you think the Lord didn't want them to take any of the spoil either? Because many of the things that they had, they owned, amen, were tainted. And they were devoted to gods. And they were accursed things. And if they brought that thing into the camp, it could bring a curse into the camp. That's another whole message for another day. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder sheep and oxen, the best of the things which you should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is what? Better than sacrifice, and to heed, or listen, than the fat of rams. In other words, God's saying, I don't want your sacrifices. They're detestable to me. What I want is your obedience. I want your heart. I want to know that you are truly mine, that we are in covenant together, that we're in mission together, that we're doing life together. And I'm your creator, and I'm your Lord, and I am the lover of your soul, and I'm the one that's going to take care of you. I'm the one that's going to provide for you. I'm the one that's going to protect you. I'm the one that loves you more than anybody else, and I want you to be faithful to me because I'm faithful to you. God is totally committed to his people. He is committed to you already. But he wants us to return that commitment to him. and place ourselves under His authority, because the safest place to be is under God's Word. Yeah. And He said in verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What's happening in America today is a spirit of witchcraft. Rebellion against all established authority everywhere. Even within our own government, they're fighting among themselves. Slanderous against the authorities that are there. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. God says this is bad. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. Wow. Then Saul said to Samuel, now he comes clean. I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. How many times have we compromised the will of God because of fear of man? Because of peer pressure? Because of wanting to conform? How many know it's time for us to put our foot down and say no more? Let God be true and every man a liar. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And now therefore, he said, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. In other words, it was too late. You know, sometimes people think that they can just with impunity continue to rebel and rebel and rebel, and nothing's ever going to come of it. Nothing's ever going to happen. But sometimes, folks, we can go to the point where it is too late. And there are going to be some consequences because of our stubbornness and our refusal to obey the Lord. God loves us, but God is just. He's a God of justice. And so His justice demands punishment for sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross, took the punishment of our sin upon Himself. That if we will turn to Him and turn from our wicked ways and repent towards God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from my sin and I give myself now to You, to live for You, to place myself under Your authority. Lord Jesus, be Lord of my life. That you can receive pardon, forgiveness, cancellation of the sin, and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But there must be repentance before that can happen. The only way for you and I to be free, completely free from Satan, is to completely reject him. You can't compromise with your enemy. You've got to totally surrender your life to Christ. See, some people, they just want to cat one foot in, one foot out. You know? You can't have one foot in, one foot out. Either you're in or you're not. There's abundant life in Him, in Christ. But outside, amen, the lion awaits. He's a roaring lion. He wants to devour someone. He's looking for the straggler. He's looking for the loner. He's looking for the lone ranger that just wants to do their own thing. They don't want to come under God's authority. They want to do it their way. I mean, you know, there's only one way, and that's His way. And all of us, including me, amen, I'm responsible for my life and what I do with this life. I'm partnering with Jesus, amen, and I need the Lord's grace every day to overcome. How many know that everything can change in a day for us if we're not careful? This is one day for Saul, I believe. I don't know how long it took, but it was a quick victory. Partial victory. But he compromised. Listen to what God said to Israel of old. Isaiah 1:11. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Now, you're probably saying, well, this isn't what God told them to do. Yeah, God told them to do this. This is their sacrificial system under the law. But he said, but when you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony. He said, I'm not impressed by your offerings, your sacrifices, even your pious ceremony. You want to wear those robes, you want to light those candles, you want to do all this hocus pocus stuff and try to look spiritual to somebody. But God says, I look on your heart, I see who you really are. I see the hypocrisy. He says, I want you. I don't want all the stuff, I want you. I want your heart. I want a relationship with you. I want you to trust me. That my word is good for you. My word, my commandment is love for you. He says, I hate your new moon celebrations, your annual feasts. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, he said, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. The people were offering to God good sacrifices, but their hearts were far from him. How many know we can do the same thing today? We can be an unintentional Pharisee. We can put on an outward show that might be very impressive. Did you see how Brother Joe swung from that chandelier last Sunday? Wow, that was really spiritual of him. God looks on the heart, amen? Now, if you feel moved to swing, I wouldn't recommend swinging from these. It probably wouldn't hold you. We're not here to tell anybody how to worship the Lord, amen? But what we do want is that you would worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Be authentic, be real, amen? Have a clean heart before God, and then offer up your spiritual sacrifices. What are the spiritual sacrifices today? To offer your body back, amen, for his service. To offer thanksgiving and praise, the fruit of your lips unto God. And God will receive your praise, amen, and he will shower down his blessings and refresh you and strengthen you and encourage you in him. Isn't it good to come together with God's people and sing praises? Hallelujah. And Jesus told the Pharisees of his day, Matthew 15:8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And of course, he was quoting from, I believe it was Isaiah. And John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. That word for love is what? Agape, God's love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm just making noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, good charities, and though I give my body to be burned even, a martyr, but have not agape. In other words, you don't have God who is agape. It profits me nothing. Do you understand? You must be possessed with the love of God. The Spirit of Christ must be in you. You must be in right standing with God. Amen? And that is made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus. It's not made possible by me trying to bribe God by doing good deeds when I'm in rebellion towards Him. Do you get it? Because sometimes what we're trying to do is appease our own conscience. Well, I'll just do some good things. How about dealing with the bad thing? By giving it over to God. Amen? And repenting of that. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can. You got to surrender to Him. You got to yield to Him. You got to trust Him. And so, in other words, all the sacrifices, these things mentioned here, are of no good. They're profitless unless they're done out of love for God. How many believe that we can do good works with selfish motives? People do good works, good deeds. I wonder how many celebrities, whoops, are doing things that are very visible, charities, but what they're doing is they're waving a flag and say, hey, buy my albums. Maybe. Or they're drawing attention to themselves. How many know Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? When you give your alms, give them in secret. He said, don't wave a flag when you're doing a good deed. Amen. Do it as unto the Lord. If the Lord is motivating you to do something, do it unto Him. But don't do it before men to be seen of men. Otherwise, the only reward you're going to get is from man. Say, hey, attaboy, Joe, you did a good job. But God sees their heart. Amen. God saw the Pharisees' heart. And they did things to be seen of men. But He said, inside you're full of dead men's bones. And only God could have delivered them from that. Amen. God could have delivered them from that death if they would humble themselves and acknowledge. And some of them did. Some of the Pharisees did come to the Lord. They were the worship leaders of that day, the Pharisees, by the way. So our worship is unacceptable to God apart from obedience to His word. It's hypocritical to claim to be a Christian but not follow Christ. You hear a lot of people, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, give me a moment. Give me a little while to watch your life. How do you live? Amen. A Christian is known by the fruit that they bear. If you're in Christ and you're walking in the Spirit, you'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And people will know that's truly a child of God there. If you're in bed with the devil and in bed with the world and claiming to be a follower of Christ, you're a hypocrite. You know that. So Israel thought their religious activity would make up for the rebellion. So they were doing things for God, but they were unwilling to listen to Him. Guys, are you willing to listen to God today? Are you willing to make the change today if necessary? To say from here on out, I'm committing myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to be led of His Spirit. Amen. I'm going to divorce myself from the Amalekite. Amen. Anything to do with Amalek, I'm utterly destroying it, getting out of my life. Amen. And I'm going to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in the new life that He's promised me. Amen. And that life is an abundant life, an overflowing life, a superior quality and quantity of life. Amen. And so John's message, well, let's go back to Isaiah 1:16. The Lord counseled His people because He chastises those who He loves. He said in Isaiah 1:16, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. He's saying, I want to see evidence of repentance. Not just saying, I'm sorry, but continuing to live like you always do. This is John's message in Matthew 3:7. But when He saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch Him baptize, He denounced them. You brood of snakes, He exclaimed, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? How many believe the Holy Spirit was working on them? It was the Lord drawing them. Then He said, though, in verse 8, so you've been drawn to this place where you are saying that you are going to repent and be baptized. Prove by the way you live, verse 8, that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Do you understand? How many here know what I'm talking about here today? Amen? This is the word of God. God is saying, like Zacchaeus, amen? You got more than just, I'm sorry. Zacchaeus said, God, if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to pay him back. And all those I stole from, I'm going to pay back not twice according to law, but four times. And I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. He's saying, I'm not just going to say it with my mouth, but I'm going to demonstrate with my life that I am a new man. Amen. And the Lord has pardoned me. He's given me grace. He's given me mercy. Now I want to live for Jesus. Amen. Out of gratitude for what He's done in my life, I'm going to now serve Him. Jesus was brutally crucified on that cross for us because sin is real and because sin is horrible. What we see in this world around us that we hate is the evidence, amen, of sin. It's the result of it. All the brokenness, the abuse, the sadness, the pain, all the awful things that we encounter in our life and that we've witnessed with our eyes or heard of. And all these things are a result of one man's rebellion. Adam, in the very beginning, and Eve, they decided they're not going to obey the Lord either. They're going to do it their way. And so God is calling his church even. You know, in Revelation, it talks about the seven churches, amen? Revelation 3, 4, I think it is as well, but it talks about the seven churches. And over again, God said, you guys are doing good here. You know, I commend you for what you're doing, but you need to repent of these things. He's talking to the church. The church needed to repent. Those churches needed to repent. And if you go to Ephesus today, you know as well as I do, there's nothing but ruins there. Because that church didn't repent. And they lost their candlestick. Amen? Their fire went out. I don't know about you, but I love the fire of God. I like to be lit up for Jesus. Amen? I love the joy of the Lord. And I love walking in the peace of God, knowing that it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? So Jesus paid it all for us. He paid the price for us, what we deserve to pay. So don't be a Saul, amen, and rebel against the will of God for you. Deal with your sins today. Confess them. Renounce them while you still have opportunity. Guys, divorce yourself from any alliance with the devil. Amen. That's the lesson for today. Whatever giant is standing in your way, whatever enemy is in your way, God has given you the authorization to make it go. God has given you the power of His Spirit to give you the self-control to say no to you and yes to the will of God. And if you need the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray in just a few moments. I want you to come. We're going to pray over you and ask God to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. God warns of judgment. I'm finishing with this. To come for those who refuse to repent. Hebrews 3:12, he's speaking to the New Testament church. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. For the just shall what? Live by faith. My faith in Christ alone. Not my faith in my ability to be holy, but my faith in God who makes me holy. Amen. As we abide in Him and He abides in us, we will bear the fruit automatically of God. Hallelujah. But what we need to do is we need to let the wall down inside and give God access to our heart. Be vulnerable, but you know you can trust Him. He's not going to hurt you if you're vulnerable with God. A lot of us have got walls up because people have hurt us. Amen? So we live in a shell. But God knows how to break through that shell. And I believe God's been speaking to some of us today. Amen? Even me. Speaking to our hearts. And He's calling us to repent, to destroy Amalek, utterly destroy him, and fully give yourself, your life over to Jesus Christ, and pray for the grace of God, because it's the power of God that gives you the ability to live in victory. You can live a victorious life. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Faithful to the end.